I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Jack, you really shouldn't go on that trail alone. Mark had warned him over the coffee the morning before. I had chuckled. Don't worry, buddy. I got this. Now, I was regretting his bravado as I tightened the straps on my backpack, my eyes scanning the map of Dead Man's Path one last time before I folded it and tucked it safely into my pocket. The sun had already started to dip below the horizon, painting the sky a deep, bruised orange. I took a deep breath, filling my lungs with the crisp mountain air, and set off into the thickening shadows of the forest. The crunch of leaves underfoot was the only sound as I started the journey, the silence of the woods a stark contrast to the noisy cafe where I had breakfast with Mark. The trail was well-worn, littered with the remnants of past visitors, a candy wrapper here, a discarded water bottle there. It was a popular spot despite its grim reputation, or perhaps because of it. The allure of the unknown had always been a siren call to me. Plus, I had my trusty Spotify playlist to keep me company. I plugged in my earbuds and let the music fill my ears, the steady beat of my favorite hiking mix setting a brisk pace for my steps. As I ventured deeper into the woods, the foliage grew denser, the path narrowing to a tight corridor of trees that leaned inward, their branches intertwining in a way that seemed almost menacing. The light grew dimmer, the canopy of leaves above filtering the sun's rays into a soft, greenish glow that danced across the forest floor. The music in my ears grew louder, a futile attempt to drown out the whispers of doubt that had started to creep into my thoughts. The trail twisted and turned, leading me up and down gentle inclines, each step taking me further from civilization. I could feel my heart racing in anticipation of what might lie ahead, my hand resting on the cold metal of my Bowie knife at my side. The only thing to keep me grounded was the steady rhythm of my breath and the beat of my boots on the packed earth. And then, without warning, the music in my ears was shattered by a sound that didn't belong, a sound that was all too real. I yanked out my earbuds, my heart thudding in my chest as I tried to pinpoint the source of the disturbance. It was a low growl, deep and guttural, coming from somewhere to my left. The hairs on the back of my neck stood on end as I slowly turned my head, my eyes widening at the sight that met me. It was the creature from the legends, the one they talked about in hushed tones around campfires. It was massive, easily 7 feet tall, covered in thick fur that rippled with the tension of muscles beneath. Its eyes burned a fiery red, and its head was unmistakably that of a wolf, with teeth bared in a snarl that promised pain and death. Instinct took over. I fumbled in my pack for the bear spray, my hands trembling as I pulled the canister out. The creature took a step closer, and the sound of branches breaking beneath its weight echoed through the stillness. I knew I had one shot at this. If I didn't scare it off, I'd have to fight for my life. I took a deep breath, aimed, and fired. A cloud of white gas erupted from the can, enveloping the creature in a choking mist. It roared, a sound that seemed to shake the very trees around me, and I braced myself for an attack that never came. Instead, the creature recoiled, staggering backwards and wiping at the air as if to clear the fog from its eyes. It let out a pained whine, and for a brief moment, I caught a glimpse of something almost human in its expression. But that was all the time I needed. I turned and sprinted down the trail, the sound of its heavy footsteps following me for what felt like an eternity. The path grew steeper, and I could feel my lungs burning, my legs threatening to give out. But fear was a powerful motivator, and I pushed on, the thud of my heart, the only rhythm guiding me now. The creature's pursuit grew fainter as the distance between us increased, and I allowed myself to believe that I had escaped. My breath came in ragged gasps, and the taste of panic grew sour in the back of my throat. I stumbled into a small clearing, the moon's silver glow breaking through the canopy in dappled patterns on the ground. I leaned against a tree, panting, and took stock of my situation. The bear spray had bought me some time, but I had no idea how much. I knew I had to keep moving, had to find a way to lose it. My thoughts raced as I scanned the clearing for any sign of shelter or a new path to take. That's when I heard it. The rustle of leaves, the snap of a twig. It was closer than before. I spun around, the Bowie knife in my hand, and faced the creature again. It had recovered from the spray, its eyes now blazing with a newfound anger. We circled each other, predator and prey locked in a deadly dance. The creature's fur stood on end, its clawed hands flexing and unflexing at its sides. I knew that fighting it was a last resort. If the bear spray hadn't deterred it, I wasn't sure what would. But as it lunged at me, all thoughts of running or hiding fled my mind. This was it. I had to stand my ground. The creature was swift, but I was prepared. As it leapt, I ducked and swiped the knife upward, feeling the satisfying resistance of fur and flesh giving way to steel. It howled, a sound that pierced the night, and I felt a moment of triumph as it stumbled back. But the moment was fleeting. It recovered quickly, and with a feral snarl, it charged again. The impact was nothing that I had ever felt before. It slammed into me, sending us both tumbling to the ground. The knife fell from my grasp, skittering away into the darkness. I rolled, trying to put some distance between us, and grabbed a handful of rocks and dirt, throwing it into the creature's snarling face. It recoiled again, giving me a moment to scramble to my feet. The adrenaline pumping through me was like a drug, and I knew that I had to end this now, or I wouldn't get another chance. I spotted the knife, gleaming in the moonlight a few feet away. With a roar of desperation, I dove for it, my hand closing around the hilt just as the creature pounced. We rolled together, the knife flashing in the dim light as I brought it up, aiming for its throat. The creature was strong, its claws raking at my backpack, searching for purchase. I could feel the warmth of its breath on my neck, the stench of its foul breath filling my nostrils. In one swift motion, I managed to flip us over, straddling the creature's chest. It thrashed and buckled beneath me, but I had the advantage now. I raised the knife, my arms shaking with the effort of holding it aloft. With a primal scream, I brought the blade down, feeling it sink deep into the soft flesh of its neck. The creature's eyes widened, the glow in them fading as the life drained out of it. The forest grew still once more. The only sound, the harsh rasp of my own breathing, and the thump of the creature's dying heartbeat beneath me. Exhausted and bleeding, I climbed off of the creature's lifeless body and stumbled back to the trail. The journey back was a blur of pain and fear, the moon's cold light my only companion. As I emerged from the trees into the relatively safety of the parking lot, the reality of what had happened crashed down on me. I had faced the legend of Dead Man's Path and had lived to tell the tale. But as I drove away from the forest, I couldn't shake the feeling that I had brought something back with me. Not just the horror of the encounter, but a newfound respect for the wild and untamed world that lay just beyond the edge of civilization. The creature's eyes haunted me in the rearview mirror, a silent reminder that there were things in the woods that defied explanation, things that were best left alone. I decided right then and there that I would never speak of what had transpired on Dead Man's Path. I knew that no one would believe me, not even Mark, with his love for tall tales and the macabre. I pulled into my driveway, the headlights of my car illuminating the quiet suburban street. The house was dark, everyone else tucked away in the warm embrace of sleep. Carefully, I unloaded my gear and slipped inside, trying not to wake anyone. In the bathroom, I examined the claw marks on my back in the mirror, each one a stark reminder of the night's terror. They stung and bled, but they were superficial. The creature's touch had been like fire, but the pain was already subsiding, leaving behind only the memory of its fury. I cleaned the wounds and bandaged them as best as I could, then collapsed onto my bed, my mind racing. Sleep eluded me. The images of the creature's fiery eyes and snarling muzzle played on repeat in my head. I tossed and turned, the adrenaline still coursing through my veins. Eventually, I gave up and sat by the window, watching the first light of dawn break over the horizon. It was a beautiful sight, one that seemed to wash away the shadows of the night. But deep down, I knew that the creature had changed me. I was no longer just a curious hiker seeking adventure in the wild. I was a survivor of something ancient and terrifying. Days turned into weeks, and I threw myself into work, burying the incident under the mundane routine of my daily life. But the woods called to me, whispering sweet promises of peace and solitude. I longed to return to the trails, to feel the crunch of leaves under my feet and the cool kiss of the mountain air on my skin. Yet every time I thought of going back, the memory of those red eyes held me in a vice grip of fear. One evening, as I sat in my living room lost in thought, Mark knocked on my door. He looked at me with a mix of concern and curiosity. "You okay, man?" he asked, noticing the paleness of my face and the circles under my eyes. "You've been acting weird since you got back from that hike." I forced a smile. "Yeah, I'm fine." But the lie tasted bitter on my tongue. I knew I wasn't fine. I was haunted by what I had seen, what I had done. And I knew that if I stepped into those woods again, I may never come back. Or if I did, it would be a different version of me, and forever scarred by the creature of Dead Man's Path. The decision weighed heavy on my shoulders, but it was clear that the path ahead was fraught in peril. I had to choose whether to face my fears or leave them behind, festering in the dark recesses of the forest. As I looked into Mark's concerned face, I realized that I wasn't alone. Maybe together we could find a way to conquer the shadows that lurk just beyond the edge of the known world. The following weekend, I invited Mark to join me on a hike. He was thrilled at the prospect, eager to explore the trails that had once been my solo escapade. I didn't tell him about the creature. I couldn't, not yet. Instead, I filled our packs with supplies and double-checked my own gear, the weight of the knife a constant reminder of what waited in the shadows. As we set off, the sun painted the sky in a riot of colors, the warmth a stark contrast to the chill that had settled on my bones. We talked of mundane things, work, the latest movies, and plans for the holidays, but my mind remained fixated on the creature. The trail grew similar underfoot, the trees whispering secrets that only I could hear. Each step was a silent pact with fate, a gamble that we wouldn't stumble upon the creature again. But as the day grew old, the whispers grew louder, more insistent. The hairs on the back of my neck stood on end, and I knew that we were being watched. I quickened my pace, hoping to outrun the feeling, but it clung to me like a second skin. And then, we found it. The creature's lair, hidden in a dense thicket. The smell of decay and fear was thick in the air, a testament to the lives it had claimed. Mark froze beside me, his eyes wide with a mix of terror and fascination. I could see the questions forming on his lips, but I held up a hand to silence him. We had come too far to turn back now. I pulled out the knife, the metal cold and comforting in my grip. I knew that this was it, the moment of truth. We had to face the creature or live our lives in fear. With a nod to Mark, I stepped into the thicket, the branches snapping and crackling underfoot like the bones of the damned. The air grew colder, the shadows deeper, until we were surrounded by a wall of darkness that seemed to breathe a life all of its own. And there, in the heart of the lair, we found the creature. It was injured, weakened by our previous encounter, but the fire in its eyes was undiminished. How it survived, I don't know. The fight was brutal, a dance of steel and fury that seemed to last an eternity. Our movements, a harmonious blur of survival instinct and sheer will. The creature was fast, even though it was injured, but we were fueled by the fire of friendship and the desire to live. Each time it lunged, we dodged and struck, the knife finding its mark again and again. And then, with one final desperate howl, it collapsed. The light in its eyes extinguished. We had won. But the victory was bittersweet. As we stood over the lifeless body of this creature, I felt a strange sadness wash over me. It was the creature of myth and terror, yes, but it was also a being that had been driven to the brink by the encroachment of civilization. I had killed it not out of malice, but out of fear. The weight of that knowledge settled into my soul like a heavy stone. We emerged from the woods, the setting sun casting long shadows across the landscape. Mark was shaking, his face pale but his eyes alight with the adrenaline of victory. We stumbled to the car, our hearts pounding in our chests. The drive home was quiet, both of us lost in our thoughts. When we finally pulled into my driveway, we sat in silence, the engine ticking as it cooled down. "Jack," Mark began, his voice low and solemn. "What was that?" I took a deep breath, the truth heavy on my tongue. "I don't know," I said finally. "But I know we can't tell anyone." He nodded, understanding in his gaze. We had entered a pact, a bond forged in the crucible of fear and blood. We had seen the face of the unexplained and lived to tell the tale not once, but for me, twice. And as we climbed out of the car, the woods behind us seemed to whisper our names. I knew that nothing would ever be the same again. Our lives had been irrevocably changed by the creature of Dead Man's Path, and we would carry the scars that night with us forever. But for now, we were alive. And that was enough. The trail was quiet. the only sound being the occasional crunch of the leaves beneath my boots. I'm a seasoned hiker, and was deep in the dense woods of Virginia, enjoying the solitude the wilderness offered. I took a sip from my water bottle, feeling the cool liquid trickle down my throat. The sun had dipped low in the sky, casting long shadows that danced and flickered through the tree trunks. I knew nightfall was approaching, but the thought of a campfire and the comfort of my tent kept pressing forward. "You're not going to believe this," I began, my voice shaking slightly as I recounted the story to the park ranger. "I was just minding my own business setting up camp when I heard it." The ranger leaned in, curiosity etched into his weathered face. "Heard what?" "It was a growl," I said, my eyes wide with the memory. "But not like anything I've ever heard. It was deep, guttural, and it was coming from something big." I paused, collecting my thoughts, then continued. I grabbed my flashlight and peeked out of the tent. That's when I saw it. It was like a dog, but it was massive, easily 7 feet tall, and it was walking on its hind legs like a man. The ranger's pen stopped scribbling on his notepad. "A dog walking on its hind legs?" "No, it was more than that," I insisted, my voice rising with the urgency of my words. "It was dog-like, sure, but it had these long, powerful arms, and it was covered in fur that looked almost unnatural. The way it moved, it was like nothing I had ever seen. And its eyes, they were yellow, like glowing embers in the dark, and it was staring right at me." The silence in the ranger station was thick, only pierced by the distant hoot of an owl. The ranger studied me, looking for any sign of a prank or exaggeration, but all he saw was raw terror. I swallowed hard. It wasn't just the sight of it, it was the way the air felt, heavy, like I was being watched by something ancient, something that didn't belong. The ranger leaned back in his chair, rubbing his chin. "I've heard some strange things in my time, but this is new." I nodded, my gaze never leaving the ranger's. "I know how it sounds, but I'm not making this up, and I'm not going back out there until I know it's safe." The ranger sighed, placing a hand on my shoulder. "We'll look into it, but for now, stay here. You're not alone." As the door closed behind me, the ranger picked up his radio. "Base, we might have a situation." The woods outside remained still, but the sense of unease was palpable, as if the very trees were holding their breath, waiting for what would happen next. The ranger's voice crackled over the radio, calling for backup.
"Shh, possible large predator. Possibly a bear or something unusual. Hiker reports it's troubling. Requesting immediate assistance at Camp 17.
As I sat in the corner of the station, my heart racing as I listened to the static response. Two other rangers would arrive shortly, they said, armed with more than just bear spray. They were bringing a shotgun just in case. As we waited, I couldn't help but think about the creature. Its fur had been a matted gray and brown, blending almost seamlessly with the foliage. Its snout was elongated, like a wolf's, but the teeth, those had been more like humans, but sharp and deadly. And the way it moved, so fluidly, so purposefully, it was like watching a ghostly apparition stalk through the night. The sound of an engine grew louder, snapping me out of my thoughts. The other rangers had arrived, their faces a mix of skepticism and concern. They listened to my story, nodding gravely, and began to prep their gear. It was clear they weren't taking my encounter lightly. As we set out into the night, the flashlight slicing through the dark, the reality of the situation settling heavily on my shoulders. What if I had stumbled upon something that didn't just break the rules of nature, but shattered them entirely. What if this was just the beginning of something much larger? The rangers spoke in hushed tones, their eyes darting around the woods as if expecting the creature to leap out at any moment. The crunch of gravel underfoot grew quieter as we approached the trailhead, and the air grew colder. The hair on the back of my neck stood on end. When we had reached my abandoned campsite, the rangers fanned out, their flashlights painting the area in stark white light. My tent looked tiny and vulnerable amidst the towering trees. The fire had burned down to embers, casting an eerie glow. Suddenly, one of the rangers froze. "Guys," he whispered, his voice barely audible. "Look." In the dirt leading away from the campsite were a set of massive paw prints, each one easily twice the size of a man's hand. The furrows were deep, as if something heavy had been dragging its claws through the earth. My stomach lurched at the sight. The rangers exchanged glances, their expressions grim. "Stay here," the first ranger instructed, his hands tightening around the shotgun. They disappeared into the woods, following the trail of the monstrous creature. The silence was deafening, broken only by the occasional rustle of leaves or a snap of a twig. I was left alone, surrounded by the very woods that had held my terror just moments earlier. Minutes stretched into an eternity as I waited, my eyes darting around, searching the shadows for any sign of movement. The thought of that creature out there so close made every second feel like a lifetime. Finally, the crunch of footsteps grew louder. The rangers reemerged, their faces taut with tension. The lead ranger approached me, his eyes serious. "We found where it went. There's a cave about a mile from here. That's where it's headed." "What are you gonna do?" I managed to ask, my voice trembling. "We're gonna go follow it," he said firmly. "But we need to be careful. This isn't like anything we've ever dealt with before." The three of us set off into the dark, the beam of our flashlights the only defense against the unknown that laid ahead. As we ventured deeper into the forest, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being drawn into a nightmare from which there might be no waking up. The trail of the creature was unmistakable. Broken branches, crushed underbrush, and the ever-present thud of its massive paws echoing in our minds. The air grew colder, and the scent of damp earth and musk grew stronger with every step. The woods, once a place of refuge, now felt like a prison closing in around us. We reached the cave entrance, a gaping maw in the hillside, and the rangers conferred in hushed tones. They had encountered bears before, but the prints we followed suggested something much more terrifying. With a shared nod, they readied their weapons, and we stepped into the inky blackness. Inside, the air was thick with the scent of the creature. The cave walls were smeared with what looked like dirt and something sticky. I didn't want to think about what it could be. Our lights danced across the rock, revealing a space much larger than any of us had anticipated. The silence was so profound, it was as if the very echo of our footsteps had been swallowed whole. As we moved deeper, the ranger's flashlights caught the glint of something reflective in the distance. Eyes, staring back at us from the shadows. My heart pounded in my chest as the creature emerged, its fur bristling, its teeth bared in a snarl that sent shivers down my spine. The rangers aimed their weapons, their training kicking in.
"Don't move,"
the lead ranger murmured, his voice tight.
"Whatever it is, we don't want to provoke it."
But the creature had other plans. With a roar that seemed to shake the very foundations of the earth, it charged, moving faster than I had ever thought possible. The rangers fired, their shots echoing through the cavernous space, but it was as if the bullets passed right through the beast. Panic took a hold of me as the creature closed in, and in a split second, I knew what I had to do. I dashed to the side, pulling out my pocket knife, a pathetic defense against such a monstrosity. But it was all I had, and in that moment, all I knew. The creature was almost upon us when a strange thing happened. It skittled to a halt, snarling, and then took off again, this time away from us, deeper into the cave. The rangers and I looked at each other in shock, our ears ringing from the gunshots.
"What the hell was that?"
one of the rangers whispered. The lead ranger's voice was low and steady.
"I don't know, but we can't just let it lead us in some wild goose chase. We'll follow, but keep your eyes peeled. This isn't over yet."
We cautiously pursued the creature, the echo of its retreating footsteps a taunt that seemed to say, "Follow me if you dare." The cave grew narrower, the air colder, and the scent of the creature stronger. It was as if we were being drawn into the bowels of the earth, in a realm where mankind wasn't meant to tread. And as we ventured on, I couldn't help but feel that the most terrifying part of our journey was still to come. The creature's retreating footsteps grew fainter, the only sound now the rhythmic dripping of water somewhere in the distance. The walls of the cave were slick with moisture, and the ground grew uneven, making every step a precarious dance. As we approached the source of the dripping, the cave opened up into a vast chamber, the ceiling lost in darkness above us. The creature had vanished, but its presence remained, a tangible, malevolent force that seemed to press down on us. The rangers spread out, their lights playing over the cavernous walls, revealing ancient carvings that looked almost human, yet human and bestial. It was then that we heard it. A whimper, faint but unmistakable, coming from the far end of the chamber. The creature wasn't the only one in here. We approached cautiously, the sound growing louder, more desperate. And there, in the corner, we found a young girl, no older than 10, her clothing torn and her eyes wild with fear. She looked at us with a mix of hope and terror, as if she wasn't sure if we were her saviors or the next predators to stalk her. The lead ranger knelt beside her, speaking soothingly.
"It's okay. We're here to help you. What's your name?"
Lily,
she stuttered, clutching a small teddy bear to her chest.
"How did you get up here, Lily?"
I asked gently, my eyes never leaving the shadows that surrounded us.
It took me,
she whispered, her voice trembling.
I was playing outside my house, and when I went to see, it just picked me up and brought me here.
The gravity of the situation settled on us like a cold, heavy blanket. This creature wasn't just a random encounter in the woods. It had abducted a child, and it had brought her to its lair. The rangers exchanged grim looks.
"We have to find it,"
the lead ranger said, his voice firm. "We can't leave her here." But as we began to search the cavern, it was clear that we weren't the only ones looking. The creature's growls echoed through the chamber, growing louder, closer. And with every step we took, the realization grew that we were no longer the hunters. We had become the hunted. The wall of the cave seemed to pulse with the creature's anger, the wind itself vibrating with its fury. We had stumbled upon a nightmare that had made this place its home, and it was not going to give up its prize without a fight. The tension was almost unbearable, the anticipation a knife's edge that we danced upon. And as we moved through the cavern, the ground beneath us began to shake, the creature's roars becoming a deafening crescendo that seemed to shake the very bones in our bodies. We had to make a decision, stay and fight or flee with Lily and hope to God that we could outrun the monster. The choice was clear, but the path ahead was fraught with danger. We had stepped into the realm of the unknown, and it was clear we were not welcome. The creature's footsteps grew closer, the ground shaking more violently with each step. The rangers tightened their grips on their weapons, and I took Lily's trembling hand into mine. We were in this together, and we would face the creature or die trying. As the creature emerged from the shadows, its towering form illuminating by the flashlights, I felt a surge of adrenaline. This was not just about survival anymore. This was about justice, about protecting the innocent. And as the rangers raised their guns, I knew that we were about to face the most terrifying battle of our lives. The creature was massive, its fur standing on end as it bared its teeth in a snarl. Its eyes glowed with an unearthly light, and its claws looked like they could rip through metal. Yet amidst the horror, there was something almost sorrowful in its gaze. It was as if it knew that this confrontation was inevitable, that it had no choice but to defend its lair. But the rangers didn't hesitate. They opened fire, the roar of the shotguns echoing through the cavern. The creature took the brunt of the attack, staggering back, but it was clear that the bullets weren't having the desired effect. They barely seemed to penetrate its thick fur, let alone cause it any real harm. The creature lunged forward again, and the rangers fell back, reloading with a sense of desperation. Lily clung to me, her eyes squeezed shut, her entire body trembling. I whispered to her, "We're gonna get you out of here," trying to instill some courage in her tiny frame. But the creature was relentless. It swiped at us with its massive paws, sending rocks and dirt flying. One of the rangers went down with a grunt of pain, and the others continued the fire, trying to keep it at bay. I knew we couldn't keep this up. We needed a plan, a way to end this nightmare. And as I watched the creature, something clicked in my mind. Those eyes, that strange, almost human-like gaze. What if we could communicate with it? What if we could somehow make it understand that we didn't want to fight? Holding Lily close, I stepped forward, my hands up in a gesture of peace. "Please," I called out, my voice shaking. "We're not here to harm you. We just want to take this girl and go." For a moment, the creature paused, its eyes locked on mine. Then it took a step back, tilting its head as if considering my words. The rangers watched in astonishment, their guns still trained at the beast. Slowly, carefully, we made our way towards the exit of the cave, never breaking eye contact with the creature. It followed us, a looming shadow, but it never made a move to attack. It was as if it understood. As we reached the mouth of the cave, the creature let out a final mournful howl that seemed to carry with it the weight of 1,000 years of loneliness and pain. Then it turned and vanished into the darkness, leaving us to wonder what we had truly encountered in the depths of those Virginia woods. The night air was a sweet relief after the stifling cavern, and the stars above shone like diamonds against the velvet sky. The rangers and I looked at each other, our hearts racing, our breaths coming in ragged gasps. We had made it out alive, and Lily was safe. But we all knew that we had stumbled upon a secret that would haunt us for the rest of our days. A creature of myth and legend had revealed itself to us, and we had walked away unscathed. The rangers helped us back to the station, their flashlights cutting through the darkness like beacons of hope. We were met with a flurry of questions and concerned faces, but all I could think about was the creature, what it was, where it came from, and whether we could ever truly be free of the shadow it had casted over us. The following days were a blur of interviews and reports, the stories spreading like wildfire through the small town. Experts called it in, but no one could identify the creature from my description. Some said it was a bear, others said like a Sasquatch or a dogman, but I knew the truth.
We had encountered something ancient and powerful, something that didn't belong in our world. And as Lily was reunited with her family, her wide-eyed tale of the big scary dog became the stuff of local legend. For me, the experience changed everything. The woods were no longer just a place of solitude and beauty. They were a reminder of the unseen world that lurked just beyond our understanding. And every time I hear a strange noise in the night, I can't help but wonder if the creature was out there, watching, waiting. Part of me is hoping for it. Part of me is praying that it had moved on.